Today the Lord has put on my heart to share with us this important subject topic, believing in Jesus will love you. It's in the wake of our general theme of this year, Zion is my home. As you know, we're coming to the end of the year. This is the last Sunday of November. And then the next Sunday, we're already December 7th, we're in Christmas mood. And therefore, we'll be talking about Christmas. And that's why I decided to give a first conclusion to our theme, Zion is my home. It came in the fact, you know, in the context that we're coming out of, you know, the long stretch of COVID. As COVID came and hit us, many of our church people left, especially the young people, and we're so thankful for many of you are here. Most of you came after, you know, COVID. And then that's where the leader of the church thought, okay, what we need to reintroduce Zion to the congregation, especially for newcomer. And that's why we talk about Zion, my home. And then we say, well, Zion, my home, we did not say Zion is my house. There's a difference between house and home. Yeah, we all want to have a beautiful, big house. But in fact, what we all need is a beautiful, big home where love is. Now, in that context, Zion is my home. The question becomes, who's the owner of the home? And this is where the answers direct us back to Jesus. Jesus is the founder and sustainer, and all the centrality of this home, Zion, is Jesus Christ. And we are, yes, a local church affiliated to a denomination we call the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. And we talk about the belief, the core belief of the Alliance Church. And that Alliance Church also is affiliated to the broader, we call, Universal Church. And that Universal Church also has a belief. If you remember, I telling you about the belief, the core belief of that Universal Church that we belong to. Zion belong to Zion, to the Alliance Church. The Alliance Church belong to the Universal Church. So it's a bigger home than we can ever imagine. And one of the biggest, the central belief of that big Universal Church, I told you, is the Nicene Creed. Four corner. What did he say? We believe in God. Thank you. We believe in God, and we believe in God, and God, and, well, the fourth one, the Universal Church, right? I said, these are the four corner belief you have to remember. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the Universal Church. And then we come to the Alliance Church. Our centrality, our central belief is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, the Sanctifier. Okay? And Jesus, the Healer. And Jesus, the King, coming King. Again, I want to refresh your minds. These are our belief. And in that belief, we want you to know Alliance Church is not about just a pastor, not about an organization. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's why, as a pastor, I decided, led by the Spirit, personally, to dig in the book of John so that we can all know this Jesus we're talking about. So that you personally, we collectively, will know who is our founder, who is our father, who is our leader. You know this very well. We live in a very multicultural setting in Canada, multi-faith setting. Where you come from originally, the same reality. I come from Mali. Three major religion, idol worshiping was number one and still number one in many parts of Mali. In the 9th century, Islam came to Mali, starting from Timbuktu in the northern part. From 9th century to the 16th, 17th, 18th century, the European colonizers start to come in Africa, 18th century. So almost 9th century, Islam was alone in Mali, in Africa. And the European came in the 18th century to introduce Christianity. And then certainly through that, other small religions came. And the bottom line is this: you individually and collectively, everywhere you go, in your workplace, at school, the question would be, why did you become Christian instead of Muslim, instead of Buddhist, instead of idol worshiper? Have you ever asked you that question? Why is it in all these religions, Jesus is the only one I'm following? This is very important for us to understand. Therefore, today's sermon will help us a little bit from the book of John as a conclusion to help us really again and again to strengthen that choice, that belief that we have put in Jesus. Why not Islam? Why not Buddhism, Hinduism? Why am I following Jesus Christ? It looks simple, but very important. Because I'll tell you, I met a gentleman at a men's gathering in Ontario here. I was a guest speaker for a men's group. We went for that weekend. I was the guest speaker. In our small group, a young man had just finished his PhD in theology. And in the small group discussion, I said, well, I just want to be honest, open with you. I'm still struggling in my faith with Jesus Christ. I said, what? You just wrote your PhD doctorate, all this. Yes, but I don't. We couldn't believe it. But it does happen. You have seen people who are going to church, who don't even pastoral work, even missionary work. But in the end, some of them have walked away from their faith. Why would they be different from you and me? What happened along the way? Some misunderstanding happened here. Some confusion happened here. And therefore, brother and sister, as we're talking about Zion, my home, and Jesus is the central figure, let us understand who is that Jesus for you and what makes him different. So that you, deep down in your heart, you know this is the one you have to follow. Now, we're going to talk about faith, but it's not blind faith. There are facts to sustain your belief, your trust in that Jesus Christ. And this is why, brother and sister, you see, the title is you have to believe, you have to trust. It's not blind trust in Jesus who loves you. The question is, other religion, can they say this about their leader, about their God? That I can trust this God, replace Jesus by that name there, and clearly say that he or she loved me. Because we're going to find out what that love really means. Sometimes we just throw empty words there, but there's nothing to back it up. It's empty when you look at the belief. Why do you believe? There are wishy-washy like this. I can't give strong fact. Today, the rest of your life, when you take your belief, you have to look at your belief. What is in the container of your belief that you know what? There's no doubt here. Even that doubt, if there's a short doubt, is helping you to strengthen what you believe in your box. And then this one, the one you put your trust in, do you really know him or do you really know her? This is very important. And as you know, at the end of the day, brother, sister, the essence is about love. That God you say love you, what are the proof that you can, they wake you up at midnight and you can point your finger to fact in your own life, in other people like that, yes, he loves me. This is the filter that we need to get. And therefore, brother and sister, you see, everyone must believe in Jesus to be saved. Everyone must believe. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Whoever. The book of John is about whoever, anyone. This is why John is a book that we love. It does not mean we don't love other books. Again, to refresh our mind, the book of Matthew was originally written for the Jew. And in the end, after Jesus' resurrection, it went from the Jew to the whole world. But the main target were the Jew who were struggling with Jesus Christ. The book of Luke was written with primary target for the Greek. But in the end, from the Greek, it changed to the whole world. The book of Mark was written originally for the Romans, where Jesus is portrayed as a slave, just doing things. And as you said, we learned about this. You won't see genealogy in the book of Mark, because who cares about the genealogy of a slave? You don't. See? And then you come in the book of John, it's not just the Jew, it's not just the Italian, it's not just the Roman, it's not just for the Greek, it's everyone, whoever. This is, you see the difference there, whoever. You're going to see that a lot. Whoever is for everyone, for all everyone. And then in the book of John, you won't see genealogy, because Jesus Christ is God. God has no genealogy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. There's no genealogy there. Yes, in the book of Matthew, you see genealogy, because it's written original for the Jew. Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of David. As soon as you talk about Abraham and David, the Jew will all stand like this. But you go to Mali, if you didn't have Christianity, you say David and Abraham, they say, what are you talking about? But you go to Israel, you say David, Abraham, they stand up. And then, yes, in the book of Luke, you have a genealogy starting from, guess what? To Adam. So the whole, it's not beyond Abraham, beyond David. It goes to Adam. The whole humanity. And yes, brothers and sisters, a few notes to remind, to refresh our mind. Everyone must believe. Whoever is you are with whoever. Your friend are with whoever. Your children are whoever. To believe in him to have eternal life. And yes, the purpose of John's gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have eternal life in his name. Believe, whoever believe. Brothers and sisters, life application Bible study commentary goes like this. To believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. It means to put our trust and confidence in him, that he alone can save us. It is to put Christ in charge of our present plans and eternal destiny. Believing is both trusting his word as reliable and relying on him for the power to change. If you have never trusted Christ, let this promise of everlasting life be yours and believe. Yes, you see, to believe is to trust and have confidence in him. Do you trust Jesus Christ? Do you have confidence in him? And this is the question that anybody should be asking about his religious leader. Now, it's a fancy word, religious, but for us, it's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have trust? Do you have confidence? And now, how do you define that trust and confidence? And then, to trust that his words are reliable and you can rely on him. These are very, very fundamental words that you need to have in your heart. Can you rely on Jesus Christ? Are his words reliable? Unfortunately, other religion, when you start to dig into the founder and their word, none of them are reliable. When you say you're not politically correct, but that's another study, we can't talk about that here. Because this is not a place to criticize other religion. But for your sake, to see the difference and to understand where you need to go. Reliable, relying on him. And the question becomes, what makes Jesus reliable? What makes him that you and I can rely on him? And yes, before we get there, people often try to protect themselves from their fear by putting their faith in something they do or have, good deed, skill, or intelligence, money, or possession. But only God can save us from the one thing that we really need to fear, eternal condemnation. We believe in God by recognizing the insufficiency. Thank you very much. I'll let you say it yourself. Get coffee, I'll tell you, okay? Of our own effort to find salvation and by asking him to do his work in us. When Jesus talked about unbelievers, he means those who reject or ignore him completely. Not those who have momentary doubt. You get it? All of us, the faith does not come overnight. In the long process, many of us have doubt about Jesus Christ. It's like this gentleman, unfortunately, after our men's retreat, never saw him again, never talked to him. And I hope and pray that, you know, the doubtful moment that he shared with us about his faith, he overcame them, and he's back to faith. Otherwise, it's a disaster. Because when you reject and ignore him completely, that's where you condemn. But when you reject or ignore him momentarily, and then come back to him, that's where you save. Where are you today? Where are you, brothers and sisters? When you look in your heart about Jesus Christ, are you completely in him as he's ready to be completely in you? Or are you completely rejecting him or ignoring him? And my prayer is this, brother and sister, yes, in the process of this high and low, that you will in the end come to the only God who can save you from the one thing that you fear, eternal condemnation. Brother and sister, you see, and this is where we come now about this God. Why is he more reliable? Why is this the one that we can trust with all our heart than any other so-called religious savior? Jesus is reliable because he is God. As we say in the book of John, you will see the seven great I am to portray him as the God, as God himself, who came down on earth, take flesh to live among us so that we can relate to God. The great I am is an expression that goes back in the book of Genesis. When Moses was in the wilderness, afraid And God came to him in a burning bush and said, Moses, Moses, I know you're afraid, but I need you to go back to set my people free, your people free. Moses didn't want to go. A few weeks ago, Robert Cousin was here preaching about that. And in that argument, Moses said, well, if I go, who should I say that who has sent me? How can I convince people that you are the one who has sent me? God will answer, God that I am, is sending you, have sent you. So that will be great, I am come. When you see in the Bible, I am stand for God. So in the book of John, you see seven are great I am, describing Jesus as God. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was born, I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the light. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true wine. Seven of them. You give me any other God that you trust in who can give you those seven. There's none. Take any religious leader, major leader, religious leader, and try to find these. It won't be there. Take time, brother and sister, and go and check this for yourself. I preached all this before. I'm just giving you conclusion. These are not new for you, but it's always helpful. And this is why the book of John is such an amazing book to convince us. So this is all to tell you that your faith is not an empty box. And yes, after the seven great I am, you see the seven miracles. Jesus is God. When you claim to be something, show in your action that you are really that person. And this is where the miracle comes. Seven of them, his seven miracles. Turning water into wine. Who like wine here? He's smiling there. Healing the nobleman's son. John 4, 46 to 54. Healing the men at Bathsheba. Feeding 5,000 people. Walking on water. Healing the blind man. Raising Lazarus from the dead. Seven. Each of these miracles was not to be funny. This is why in the Bible you don't hear about magic. That he was, you know, magician. You meet people. I don't know in here. I never run into a magician here. But in Africa, you won't be surprised the corners of her putting fire in this monk like that. I say, no, it's not the real fire. Come home. Follow me. I'll give you my fire and put it in your mouth. See, but you know what? They're there putting fire like this or putting like this. You see, but in the Bible, you never see magic. Miracles are things that Jesus do to meet a real need. Healing, feeding, walking to save people were in stress on water. It was not just to show, hey, I'm God, I can walk on water. No. It came into contact with where disciples were in distress and then they were alone. Jesus walked on water to assure them, I am here. Healing the blind person and raising Lazarus. Brothers and sisters, do you need miracle today in your life? Jesus still doing miracle. You will never find this kind of miracle in the life of another religious leader. If you find it, bring it to us. None of them like this. Most of them, they're doing magic thing to try to impress people. And when you go deeper, you find it was not meeting someone's need. It was just to try to impress people so they can be wealthy themselves. Because at the end of the day, they're coming. If you put this in the hand of another religious person, all of a sudden, start to make money out of this. All of a sudden, people are lining up. How much is it? $10,000. But in the end, you see, Jesus did all this for free. And he's still doing it for us today. Jesus healed me from my snake. The day I gave my life to Jesus Christ, night time I was beaten by a viper. Humanly speaking, I should be dead. My parents were praying, crying. 1 week later, I was healed from my viper. If I were beaten, by another viper here, yes, you pray, but I'll go to the hospital. The whole point is this, brothers and sisters, Jesus still do miracle. And the question is there any miracle that you are aware of in your life that Jesus has done in your life? Let's think about that. Are there miracles that you can think, point your finger to in your life, big or small, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever miracle you can think of, that you can point that to Jesus, that this is the miracle Jesus had done in my life? Please think about that. And you see, I come again from a Muslim country. So many Muslims I met among my friends and other people who have come to me, that in their nighttime, in their dream, Jesus came to them to speak to them. And most of them became Christian. And the funny thing is, I have never met a Muslim man or woman in Mali who have told me that he or she had dreamed and see Muhammad. None. You would think, being 90% Muslim, Islamic in Mali, at least one of them will come, you know what, one day I was dreaming, I saw Muhammad in my dream. None of them. And yet, here they are, 90% of them, mostly, is Jesus miraculously speaking, will appear to them in their dream. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. You will, if you check online, you see many, many testimonies of people who have seen Jesus appearing to them as a miracle, and it all ends to give them faith. Now, we know with black magic and all that, sometimes people are, that's not true. Now, Jesus is not turning water into wine everywhere, but it's to point out to the fact that he is God. And the question is, what are the miracles that you are aware of in your life? And yes, seven testimonies, witnesses. John the Baptist said Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, Nathanael said Jesus are the Son of God. Peter, the Holy One of God. Martha, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Thomas, my Lord, my God. John, who wrote the whole book, Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. Jesus himself, I am the Son, I'm God's Son. Brother and sister, look at it. Different people, men, women. Have you ever seen this with another religious leader? Usually other religious leaders are the only one who have seen the angel, nobody else. Nobody else. Usually they're the only one who claim to have seen something, but nobody else has witnessed it. But as I'm telling you here, you have different testimonies. How they have all experienced Jesus, even without speaking to each other. I don't think Martha spoke to John Baptist. I don't think that, you know, Peter spoke to to Martha. Did they know each other? But in the end, brothers and sisters, Jesus is still doing the same. I came from Mali. You came from other part of the world. We met here. Some of you were born here. How did you relate to Jesus? What are the testimonies that you can share about Jesus in your life? As I just told you, I have many friends, a few friends like that in Mali. I can start counting them, but because of the time, I can't go into all those details. Have come and met Jesus. I worked with Campus for Christ in Senegal, one of our driver, and he was in charge of our Jesus film. He was a Muslim man. And guess what? In his dream one day, Jesus came to him. He told me he walked 3 days, to get to the nearest church and ask for a Bible. And in the end, became a follower of Jesus Christ. And he was the one driving us. And I went to his wedding. Never forget it. But he walked 3 days to get a Bible because Jesus appeared to him. And that was in Senegal, in Mali. I was in a big city giving training to a church about how to share the gospel. We have a cotton factory. The gentleman who was in charge of the factory, a Muslim man. He became a Christian. Jesus has appeared to him in a dream. And the following day, he went to a church and became a Christian. He had already 4 wives. As soon as he became a Christian, guess what? All the 3 wives left him. He remained with the one. And I will never forget it because he was a Christian. He came to the church and said, I can give you a tour at the cotton factory. Because he became a Christian, gave us a tour and kept going. Brothers and sisters, what are the witnesses that you know yourself and other people? And all these brothers and sisters, this God with 7 miracles, 7 I am, 7 witnesses, the most important thing is this God, he loves everyone. He loves everyone. You cannot say that about other God. Other God loves themselves and sacrifice everybody for his own. But this God loves everyone. You see, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. I have loved you. And yes, brother and sister, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, God died for us. And I love this. It was not that we're perfect. Well, while we're still sinners, we're so dirty that everybody should be running away from us, that he came and embraced us. This is why I like the amazing, amazing grace. I was a wretch, and God came and saved me. This is where it's amazing. Usually, when love people are nice to me, when love people are so loving to us, and we hate people who hate us. And this love is when we hated him running away from me, he came and wrapped up. And this is why sit and look at your own life. Did you become a Christian because you were so perfect? Your life was a mess. And our lives are still messy. And yet Jesus has loved us and sacrificed himself for us. And other people, if I tell you, again, place from Mali, every year my poor Malian had to spend, each one of them, $5,000 to go to Mecca to try to forgive their own sin. $5,000. That's one person. And in the end, everybody is left home. It's only the husband. And they sometimes take one wife. $10,000 already. What about the other one? We're there. $10,000. That's once. To try to go there and then throw stone to Satan, as if Satan does not exist in Mali. Satan is only there. And come back 5,000. And then you ask him, are you sure that your sin were forgiven? He will stand there. Ah, I did what they told me to do. Brother and sister, Jesus die on the cross for us as a deep expression of his love for us. And you had to come to him and say, Lord, forgive me my sin. And this is why his love is all over the place for us. God loves you. Yes, we know we all struggle. The most important thing in our life is to love and to be loved. And unfortunately, most of us, we don't feel love in our own family. We don't feel love in our workplace. We don't feel love in our school. That's what we talk about bullying. And sometimes we don't feel love and welcome in our own church. Brothers and sisters, I in our home, we're not going to be perfect at it, but as much as possible, as expressing our belief in Jesus Christ, let's show love to one another. In your family, sometimes, especially when you have 6 children like me, it's easy to just love the one who's always saying, yes, 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 yes. But the one who says, hey, come and go and clean the washroom. Ah, Papa, I can't do it. Hard to love him or her. But in the name of Jesus Christ, remember that this is what you were yourself. You are yourself in God, that you were not obeying.
That love is there for everyone. And yes, he is trustworthy. He is the truth. John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 14 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You know, what really turned me off for many, many religions is the lie. It's the lie. On the surface, it looks truth. But when you start to go deeper, you know it's all lie. Brothers and sisters, see your true freedom. Without truth, there's no freedom. Truth to know who you are. Truth to know what it is. But if that truth is not there, you are in slavery without realizing it. Jesus wants you, your trust, your faith to be based on the truth. And I'm telling you, I challenge everyone to find this expression from any other religion's leader, that I'm above the truth. And mostly those religion people, they're pointing you, this is what you need to do. What did it? But no, Jesus himself, he is the truth. Just come to me. I'm the truth. I'm not showing the truth. No, but I am the truth. The other one, so-called religious leaders, are trying to show you the truth without being in it. But Jesus is not showing the truth. He is the truth. Come to him. There's no lie in him. And that's why, brother and sister, you and I were free. In his truth, he revealed his light. He's showing our sin. And at the same time, that truth showing us the solution. And that's where the truth is. Yeah, the truth is, it's like light. You think you're not. The truth is this, you are a sinner. The truth is this, you need a savior. The truth is this, I am the one, because I'm the one dying for you. You cannot pay your way out of this, but I have done for you. Therefore, brother and sister, let the truth of Jesus Christ capture your heart, your faith, and your ministry. Truth will set you free. And I tell people, in everything we do, if you think about it, everybody looking for the truth. When you go to the court, normally, justice is looking for the truth. That's what it is. When you're a scientific person, you're in a laboratory. Can you imagine that your research is based on lie? You kill people. The laboratory, you're there with your machine. You're trying, looking for the truth about the nature of the illness, about the nature of this, you know, germ, whatever it is. At the end of the day, it's about the truth. And I'm telling you, even the economy, you're looking for the truth. Everywhere you're going is the truth we're all looking for. And therefore, in the end, after love is truth, you have all this in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's hard to find truth and love in other religious leaders. It's not there. They can claim to have it, but when you observe their life, no truth, no love. And therefore, come to Jesus where you have a love, a genuine love, and the truth. And yes, brothers and sisters, he wants everybody to become his children. Now that you know he's God, now that you know that he's genuine love, you know that he's the truth, what is left? What is left? Come to the truth. Come to the love. Come to the God who loves you, who can do miracle. Not magic, miracle. And this is why all who did receive him, to those who believe in him, in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of natural human decision or a husband will, but born of God. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to receive Jesus Christ to become children of this God of love, of truth, and yes, of divine nature? And yes, brothers and sisters, see, if you declare in your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's by professing your faith, yes, that you have that personal relationship with this God. It's saying, you know what? This God that I just see in the great I am. This God I have seen overcoming nature. This God I have seen showing love, this God of truth, I trust in you and give my sin to you. Therefore, brother and sister, is faith trust. And yes, some privileges of those who believe in Jesus. As you believe in Jesus Christ, he become your savior. He save you from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And yes, make you children of God. And death, he become your sanctifier and your servant. This is amazing. Well, this is where St. John, he started to wash the disciples' feet. A symbol of sanctifying us. The God of the universe has come and humbled himself and washing your feet. Have you ever heard stories of other religion leaders washing the feet of his disciples? Have you ever heard it? Jesus wants to wash your feet every day. These are beautiful stories that capture my heart. The God of the universe willing to wash the feet of his disciples. And you remember, these are not feet used in a fancy car. These were feet that they used to walk the dirty road of Israel at that time. No cars. They were walking. Feet very, very dirty. And washing that. That way it's sinking in. Jesus will do anything to show his love to you. And yes, brother and sister, to serve you. And yes, comforter in chief in your time of trouble. In his word, in his promises, Holy Spirit and prayer, doing all this for you. And yes, to be the true vine where you are his branches to bear fruit for him. All these are privilege. Will he become your savior, a sanctified son, servant, comforter? You will never find this in another God. And if these are not reality for you today, or reality in progress, I pray that you see, where do you want Jesus to have this privilege for you? It's a privilege to receive Jesus Christ. And in our sermon, we talk about the obligation. You have privilege, but you have responsibility as well. But today, we just stop to the privilege. And our sermon, we talk about the responsibility of belonging to Jesus Christ. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, at the end, believing in the God who loves you, Jesus loves you, is a choice. The choice is yours to receive or to reject Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:20, here I am, the great I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, Jew, Greek, Italian, everyone, Mali, Canada, Asia, hears my voice and open the door. When you hear and you open, you see Jesus does not open it. You yourself, you open it. I will come in and eat with that person and they will with me. The whole point is this. Jesus, although he's God, he does not force himself on anybody. Wow. You go to Mali today, people are being killed because they're not Muslim enough. They had to choose this way. And then we have been, all of our Malian women, Christian or not Christian, are forced to wear the burqa today. Because Al-Qaeda branch is fighting with Malian government has brought a law. If we find you in the traffic between two cities, and you find that you are sitting beside a woman in that car, the men will be beaten, the woman will be beaten. And then a woman that has a burqa, she will be beaten in the bush. And the problem is the Malian government cannot put soldiers every corner of the country. Therefore, whether you like or not, if you're traveling as a Christian for the safety of your own, your wife, you have no choice but to say, I'm sorry, Rebecca, you have to wear a burqa. This is where we are. Yes, we Christians in the history of Christianity, some misunderstanding came, but talking about Jesus himself, the reason why we're in love with Jesus, Jesus never forced himself on anybody. Wow. It's your choice. And therefore, brother and sister, would you choose to receive Jesus today as your Savior? Stand up with me. Please stand up with me, and we're going to read this prayer. Let's read together. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
that you die on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sin, my center, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose you. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. Come reign in my heart. Fill me with your love and your life and help me to become a person who is truly loving, a person like you. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me. Love through me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.